You have to have increased discernment to know who's speaking to you at all times. There were times, don't get me wrong, I love Sage, but there are times that it's not Sage speaking. You guys know that, right? And it's such a spirit of rebellion and this argumentative spirit, right? And but when you address it, when you call it, anytime you address a rebellious spirit and they retaliate like that, they can't take correction, okay? You know that you just need to shut it down. You just need to tell it to go, you know, because if they're not heeding that spirit, they're giving access to that spirit, right? Everybody has a free will, right? We all have a free will. And so we all have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to partner with what's ungodly and what's rebellious. Or yes, I'm going to partner with what's ungodly and rebellious. So we all have a free will. So, and no person can make somebody else, you know, I can't make them do what I want them to do, right? I can't change their wills, right? I can pray, I can take authority, but I can't change their will, right? But they have to do that themselves. Now, they try to fake it. The other thing that was going on is there's a whole lot of faking going on. Come on, I'm sure most of you guys know. Those of you known or have been around, not just him, I'm not singling him out, but others like that. There's a lot of faking going on. Like they'll just want to yes you. They just want to yes. You just want to act like they comply. But you know that they're not in compliance at all. It's just because they want you, because they're in the limelight and they don't want you to, you know, call anything out. They don't want to change. Kind of the bottom line is they don't want to change. Not yet. In other words, bad is not bad enough yet in their lives. The day will come where bad is so bad that they're ready to change. But then that brings you to that place where I was talking about where you're so broken. That's why when we just try to cushion our kids, that doesn't work. Because they never feel the weight of what sin's supposed to make them feel. And we just kind of coddle them and then we just stay in the mess forever. Sometimes some of the most loving things you can do is some of the hardest things you need to do. It's because you love them instead of just so afraid if, but what if they get hurt or what if something takes place? What if, what if, what if? And so you just go on with basically just appeasing. But then they never feel the weight of their sin and they stay stuck. Because you know what? They know how to play the game. They know how to play that game. They know how to manipulate. He manipulates constantly. I'm going to see through. When he starts to speak all these Christianese, he's raised in church, manipulates constantly. Not just solely singling him out. I'm using him as an example because he was just here. But he's been in church. He knows. He knows the lingo. He knows the stories. He knows how to be a good church kid. But the guy needs help. He needs help. There is an addiction. What do we do? Well, yes, we pray. Yes, we take authority. But we need to speak truth because his mind needs to open up to recognize help is present. There's help for him. It's present. It's right here. It's right here. Everything he needs. God has equipped us to help him. But he does need to come to the place where he's humble and truly open to receiving it. Not this argumentative, I'm going to respond to everything you have to say, and sometimes I'm going to make it sound like, you know, I'm going to try to flatter you. I respect you. Well, yeah, it's fine. Great. Great. Because I know who's speaking. And we need to know who's speaking. All of us do. Not just here, but any place. Let the wisdom and discernment increase in each and every one of us. Let it increase. We need to hear the truth. And the truth that we hear, the truth we receive, is the truth that sets us free. Are you following with what I'm saying here? If you're waiting for the message, it's already started. It started while I was down there. I want us to become accustomed to when the message starts is when I open my mouth. I don't need to have my Bible in hand, and I don't have to tell you turn to chapter such and such from this book in order for the message to start. The message started when I was, half of the time it starts when we're worshiping, half of the times it starts when I'm ministering, but it starts. Because I'm going to make sure that whatever God is doing in the room is what we're talking about and addressing. I'm not just going to turn a blind eye to it. So that is what we needed to hear, part of it. That is what we needed to hear. Somebody needed to hear what just took place. And they needed to see that whole thing come about, that example. Because you'll learn. We learn from examples as we see them, right? Now, tonight or today, I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. It does really go hand in hand, how important it is to hear the voice of God. But I'll tell you right now, there is a warning for the church. And the Lord gave me this warning for the church. And he said, for those that have an ear to hear, it is so critically important that we open up our hearing right now and hear the right things so that we make the right decisions. There is an urgency in my spirit that we hear right and right now. So in other words, to hear correctly and to hear correctly right now. It very, very important. In other words, what the instruction of the Lord is, and I know he's saying this to this church. I know he's saying it to other churches, not just to this church. But increase your ability to hear him accurately. Pressing into hearing God is critical. It's critical. I had three different examples this week. In other words, three different things that happened this week that go along with what my message is. And two of those were spoken to me. They gave me their testimony. Two of those testimonies were given after I already wrote it. They had no idea what I wrote. Last night I spoke to somebody and they shared something that goes right alongside with what I'm going to talk to you all about. And they had no clue, none whatsoever, whatsoever. But the theme of all the three different testimonies is all the same. God spoke their name and they heard it. God spoke their name. They heard it. And they went into prayer to hear what he would have to say. Now, we know that that is the story of Samuel. We know that we're going to open our Bibles up in a moment to the story of Samuel. But I want you to know it is incredibly important because when I wrote this word in my spirit, this is a word that is, we know the story. It's not like we've never heard it before. But the urgency of hearing so accurately right now. I can't even express that enough. To hear so accurately, because I sense in my spirit that right now it's critical that we make right decisions. Like, obviously, it's always critical, but when God says, sound the alarm and let the church wake up and listen, then I think that we should heed and go, okay, I want to be so sensitive to hearing the voice of God because decisions need to be made, and those decisions need to be made correctly because lives are at stake. People's lives are at stake. Using the example of what just took place with Sage, using that as an example, okay? Ears to hear. You can hear in the natural. We all heard in the natural, but you also need to hear in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural realm, which is what I was hearing and why I was addressing what I was addressing, right? People get offended when you address things that they don't want you to address, or when they're justifying their behavior and they can't be told. They get offended. Do you know that people need to be offended? Then so be it. Sometimes they need to be offended because that drives them to make a wrong choice, and eventually they find themselves in a just a miry situation, and then they can fully realize, wow, I allowed my offense, I allowed my addiction, I allowed my rebellion to continue to lead me in the ditch. But it's not until enough of those circumstances take place that they wake up. What's the flip side? You ignore it. You do what most church people do, because they don't want any confrontation in their church. Why? Because people get afraid. People get offended. People don't understand. And people formulate their own opinions. But I don't care. I'm not playing church, and I'm not here. My agenda is not to try to build this big, huge mega church. My heart is to affect even one person. And if I help one person, then I've done what God has called me to do, period.
The Lord loves a hilarious giver. In his word, he talks about hilariously giving. And I've got to say, because of people like you, God has expanded the ministry's reach to where we are now in 236 million homes preaching the gospel for Jesus Christ. This is incredible. And I wanted to take a moment right now and encourage some of you that have not yet decided to become a partner, a monthly partner, that this would be an incredible time for you to jump in and become a monthly partner with us here at this ministry. The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. And I am excited to where the Lord is taking this ministry. Is it because of us? No, it's all because of Jesus Christ and faithful partners like you. God bless you as you pray and become a monthly partner.
Hey, this is not a show. It is not me trying to, you know, build some major platform. If it were, I would not do half of the things that take place in this church. I don't care about the big. I care about the Lord. I care about what he says, and he cares about each and every individual. Each and every individual. He matters to the Lord, as we all do. And we can't turn a blind eye when someone is, God brings them right into your lap, basically, right into your presence. We got to deal with what we got to deal with. Why? Because truth hurts, but because I hear. It goes back to hearing. Do you hear? I titled this, Speak, Lord, Your Servant Hears. Speak, Lord, Your Servant Hears. If we hear, we need to also respond correctly, right? So Isaiah 30 and 21 says this, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right, when you turn to the left, this is the way, walk in it. Your ears will hear a word behind you. So it's not, you're not depending on what you see. Your ears are hearing this word, and this word is behind you. Your spirit man hears. So sensitive. Yeah, what's going on out there? Is it just people talking or? So our spirit has to be so trained that we hear even what is going on behind us. So building this spiritual awareness. Oh, church, please. I know for myself right now, and because the Lord's told me, there are so many things that are happening all around. And I'm not talking about, L.A., and this has nothing to do with L.A. So everybody can just, like, breathe this. You're talking about L.A.? No, I'm talking about right here, right in your own backyard. I'm talking about what happens right in your own families, in your own backyard. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the importance of us standing. He said, the Lord said that you were a church on fire on a hill. That church on fire, which is this church, we are on fire. We don't budge. We don't back down. And we're not trying to make anybody, this is not a feel-good message. I'm not trying to make anybody feel good. I want us also all rise up and be the people that we're called to be, right? Church on fire. A church on fire. External fire, internal fire, right? Surrounded by that wall of fire where the glory of God fills and saturates this place. Absolutely, each and every time. Yes, 100%. But we have to realize we must hear the Spirit of the living God, and we have to hear accurately, and we cannot get distracted. We cannot be distracted. We cannot be moving from this place to that place, you know, running to everybody and their brother to try to find out what is God saying. What is God saying? You should know. He speaks to us. What is God saying? What is he saying to you? You should know. This is the word of the Lord. Isaiah 30 and 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right, when you turn to the left. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 3. You know, the time that you spend with the Lord increases your spiritual hearing. The time. So the more time you spend with the Lord, it will increase your spiritual hearing, which really does result in destiny, your destiny being fulfilled, but it results in so much more. It results in you receiving everything God has for you, your time spent in hearing the word of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. It says, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. There was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. Oh, Jesus. First of all, we hear and we know in this, just in this one verse, he was young. He was young. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your achievements. He was young. He was not disqualified just because he was young. This week, I had my granddaughter with me. We were driving in the car. We had no music on. There was no radio. There was no music, nothing. And she thought I called her name. And she asked if I called her name. I did not call her name. It was quiet in the car, actually. And she said, you know what, Nona, there's times at school that happens. It's happened before on the playground. I'll just be on the playground, and I'll hear my name, and I'll look around to see who's calling me, and there's nobody calling me. But I know that I hear my name. Like, she knows that she's hearing her name, right? I said, well, honey, that's like the story of Samuel. You should ask, Lord, here I am, your servant here is, you know, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And so I said, why don't you do that right now? And she did. She did that right at that moment in the car. And right at that moment, I won't say what the Lord told her, but what the Lord told her was an answer that she needed to hear for a current situation that was going on, and she needed to know which way to go. God gave her, and one would have been good and one would have been really pretty bad. And God gave her the answer. And I can verify that it was the right answer because I had been praying for that to come about because of the situation, right? So she heard her name. She's young. Don't let anyone despise you just because you're young. In 1 Timothy 4 and 12, the kids have handouts. I made handouts for them. So when you're following along, 1 Timothy 4, 12, it says, let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth, but be an example, a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And that goes with you guys too. You might not be as young as them, but at the same time, God wants to speak to you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with all of us to increase that relationship and not allowing anyone to despise you or think less of you because you are young, because of your youth, right? And I say this because Samuel was a boy. Samuel was just a boy when he heard his name. He heard his name not once, but three times. And every time he heard his name, he would go back. And Eli, you know, he would go back to Eli, the priest. Right? And he says, no, I didn't call you. No, I didn't call you. No, I didn't call you. But the third time, he realized something's going on here. And he said, when you hear your name, you need to respond. This is the Lord. Yes, Lord, your servant hears. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. This is a phrase that should be a prayer of ours, that from this day forward, that we consistently say, yes, Lord, speak, your servant listens. Because God's speaking all the time. But unfortunately, we're not always listening. Yes, Lord, speak, your servant listens, right? We're listening. Lord, help us to listen. We want to listen. We don't want to be shortchanged simply because we didn't have the wisdom to listen. We were too busy, being too distracted, listening to the wrong voices. Got to learn how to hear the truth of God's word. What else do we look at this in 1 Samuel 3, 1? Now the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. He's a boy. He ministered before the Lord. He ministered before the Lord. We would do well if we took this posture of ministering before the Lord. Before you do anything else, that you minister before the Lord. That you make sure that your best goes to Jesus. Especially people that are in leadership and ministry. Your best shouldn't go to other people. It should go to Jesus in ministry first. Why do you have so many people that are falling? They're just like falling off the bandwagon. They're just like falling off like flies, you know, in sin, right? This and this and this. It's like, make sure that your first love remains your first love. Minister to Jesus. Minister to the Lord. You don't need to have a mic in your hand and stand behind a pulpit to do this. I'm talking about each and every Christian, each and every believer. Minister before the Lord first thing in the morning. First thing that you do, you worship, you praise Him. You give Him the honor, the glory that is due His name. You spend that time and you get filled up. If you're a half-empty vessel trying to give out, it's going to be evident very soon. And there won't be good fruit that comes forth from it. If you're a half-empty vessel, and if you feel kind of empty because life is so busy or whatever, then you need to really heed what I'm saying and minister before the Lord. Make sure that in your ministering, you minister before the Lord first. Why? Because He fills you up. That's one reason. It's not the main reason, but He certainly does fill you up. We minister before the Lord because we love Him. We minister before Jesus because we're in love with Him, and that's what we love to do. It's what He's done in us, to have a changed heart. That relationship with Jesus is really what matters to us now. That hearing Him and responding correctly to Him is what matters to us now. Everything else could be going all crazy. Everything else could just be complete catastrophe, a complete mess. But we find our strength, our delight in the presence of the Lord, and ministering unto Him is our first and our utmost desire. Amen. Let that be. Let that sink in. Let that be. And if you say, that's exactly where I'm at, I love this message, praise God. More unto you. More unto you. That there would be an increase of hunger. There would be an increase. An increase of that hunger that He draws us into relationship. That hunger that draws us into relationship is not just so that you can get more stuff. It's just that your relationship with Him would so deepen that you would know exactly what God is doing, and you will not shift at all, ever. You will just be walking with Him because of the pure delight of what He gives in that relationship, which is you know that you know that you belong to Him. You belong. If you know that you know that you belong to Jesus, it's not just a mental understanding. It's a heartfelt security that keeps you stable in an unstable world. So you minister before the Lord. Samuel ministered before the Lord. He ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent or widespread revelation. To minister before the Lord, the disciples were praying and they were fasting in Acts chapter 13. And in verse 2, Acts 13, verse 2, the disciples were ministering, they were fasting, they were praying, they were ministering before the Lord. And when they were ministering before the Lord, Acts 13, 2 says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Because they were ministering before the Lord, they heard what God had for them to do. And this mighty men, but specifically Paul, mighty man of God, was literally released and launched into the ministry God had for him because somebody was paying attention. Somebody was ministering before the Lord, and God was speaking to them. Sometimes I think about the things that maybe we missed because we weren't listening. And I think that's true for every one of us. There are things we missed. You know, there are times we miss things because we can get sidetracked. And then God's speaking always, but we're not always hearing. That's when I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive us, because we want to be so sensitive to Your voice that we don't miss not one thing. And if God's always speaking, but we're not always hearing, think about the things that we're missing that He wants to give us, the truth, the revelation that He wants to release unto us, how He wants to simplify things that are so complicated. But one word from God releases that thing, right? The complication, one word from God. The place that we are to run to is right into the presence of God at all times. So the apostles did this. They drew, and James 4:8 tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Psalm 102 says, worship the Lord with gladness. You know, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11, because we were created for his pleasure. This is all under the understanding what we're talking about here, that we are to minister before the Lord. We are to minister unto the Lord. We were created for his pleasure. We were created for the pleasure of God. We were created for the pleasure of God. Yes, in the King James Version. Now, I typically read from the New King James. But in the King James Version, it's read like this. This is how you read it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou, it says, has created all things. We are a part of that, has created all things. He's created us. He's created all things, and for thy pleasure, for your pleasure, they were, they are, and they were created. You were created for his pleasure. You, this is the King James. In other versions, it'll read a little bit different. But in the King James, you were created for his pleasure. Think about that. Because so many people have this understanding of a God that's cruel, that just says, you can't do this. You can't do this. There's a list of all the things you can't. And, you know, and then people have this understanding that it's just really a boring, horrible life. Well, we know that's not true. But no, we were created for his pleasure. He finds pleasure in us, and he wants us to delight ourselves and find pleasure in him. It's called this love affair with the Lord. Created, we were created that we could, that he could enjoy us. Like if you take that one step further, he created us for his pleasure. We were created for him to enjoy us. Those that have children, don't you want to enjoy your children? When your children are unruly and there is no joy found at that moment in time, isn't that a difficult thing? When there's rebellion and there's and they're just unruly, or you know, they're just making choices that are not good and it grieves you, isn't that difficult as a parent? Isn't that difficult? It's very difficult, isn't it? Why? Because it's not the way it's supposed to be. Because we were all created for his pleasure. And so you think about relationships created like children for us, for our pleasure, to actually have pleasure in those, in the young ones, right? In the youth, our children. So we were created that he could enjoy us and receive our love back unto him. We receive his love. Do you understand that God wants to receive yours? He wants to receive your love. How does that happen? Every time you worship him. Every time you open up your Bible. Every time you read from his word. Amen. Every time you come and you come to service and you worship together as the body of Christ, you're giving your love back unto the Lord. Amen. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing. He desires that. He wants you to do that. It blesses his heart when you do that. You were created for his pleasure. We see that in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden because he enjoyed spending that time with them. Now, yes, he corrected. Of course, there was something to correct. But this was the desire of God to have that fellowship, that communication with his very created beings. And Colossians 1:16 tells us we were created for him. Now, we all know that verse, we were created for him. But think about, we were created for him for his pleasure. We were created. So in other words, when we rebel against God, we're doing the very opposite of what God has called us to do. He wants us to desire him. So it says, all things were made for Jesus and by Jesus. We know that Mary is a perfect example of this because Mary was commended for spending time with the Lord in Luke 10:41. In Luke 10:41, Jesus said to Martha, he said to Martha, one thing is needed, Martha, and Mary has chosen it. One thing is needed. One, just one. We make it so complicated. Just one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen it. And he said, it's not going to be taken from her. Now I'm looking, and I'm speaking to a bunch of people that love Jesus, that come and worship and just like Mary, just that one thing is needed and it's the one thing that I want to give. I can't wait to give this. It's like I live to give this to you, Lord. This is my desire, right? Isn't it beautiful that the rest of that verse says, and it will not be taken from her. It will not be taken from you. When you are at the feet of Jesus, like Mary was, you hear his voice. We are talking about hearing the voice of God and how critical it is right now. I began this message by telling you this word from the Lord. I sense this very strong, strong word that there is so much in the spiritual realm right now in the way of spiritual attacks. And for us as well, not just for out there, but I'm saying I'm sensing that for many, many people, this strong spiritual attack, we're not under attack. We're under the presence of God and we're under the fire and the glory of God. So let's make sure we're hearing correctly. Okay, I'm not saying we're under attack. I sense the presence of a demonic attack. We're under the glorious, filled, just dunamis power of the Lord. We're under the unction of the Holy Spirit and the power that he brings. We're not under an attack. Do I sense an attack? 100%. 100%. Will I speak and verbalize that we're under that attack? No. That attack's under my feet. Because that's where it's supposed to be. Because that's what the Bible tells us. That the devil's under our feet. So we have to make sure we keep it under our feet. That doesn't mean you don't sense the attack that's around. That doesn't mean you don't sense it. That doesn't mean you don't see it or hear it or feel it. You do. It's just not going to give it a place that it's not godly. It's not of God. But to recognize what's happening in the spiritual realm is so important because we need to be attentive. We need to be very attentive because every decision you make right now is very important. Where you go is very important. What you do is very important. I mentioned before people getting prayer from all kinds of different people, hands laid on from all different kinds of people. No, you can't allow that. You cannot allow that. Spoke to somebody just this week that they had hands laid on from somebody and they knew it was not a, well, they knew for a fact because this person was saying that she, you know, was a former witch and still has a lot of stuff and needed deliverance. So this person laid hands on someone that should have known better. And this person ended up in complete in bed for 5 days and didn't know why. Did not know why. Just like in bed for 5 days. So sick. Finally called me after, I guess, the fifth day and says, I don't understand. Like, this has got to be demonic. And I prayed for her on the phone. Every symptom left. And she was able to get up. Because it was a demonic attack because of a transference of spirits. But if we hear correctly, we would know not everybody is of God. And not everybody is healed enough or even, I'm even going to say this, not everybody is even deserving enough to have their hands laid upon your body, laid upon your shoulders. Not everybody. Oh, if the church would just understand what I'm saying and wake up to the truth and wisen up in the realm of the Spirit. We have to hear correctly. We must hear correctly. Because God doesn't send half of the things that are happening. And then people go, well, I don't understand why this happened. God didn't send it. It didn't come from God. We got to know what comes from God. We got to know what is truly of God. How are we going to know? Fine-tune our hearing. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Just like Samuel. Just like Samuel. Amen. God's always speaking. Let his be the voice that's louder than anyone else's. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And so what else do we hear and take from this one scripture in 1 Samuel 3:1? That Samuel, not only was he young, not only was just a youth, not only did he learn to minister before God, but he heard his voice. You hear his voice. So three times he called. And like I already kind of paraphrased, three times. And then on the fourth time, he said, This is how you are to respond. We are going to respond now in this way if you haven't already. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, sometimes people come to God and it's like this. Lord, and then this, and then that, and then this. And it's okay. We all do it. And we need to do it. Cast your cares before the Lord. He cares for you. Absolutely. 100%. You need to do this. Give everything to God, right? But if you never be quiet in that time of prayer, if you're still just constantly just, you know, throwing everything just and nonstop talking and nonstop worrying, nonstop crying, nonstop just all this stuff, you don't stop to say, Lord, what do you say about this? You never make room. You don't give space to hear. Then you're, that's only half of the description of prayer, because prayer is a two-way street. It's a communication. It's not just a one-way monologue. But when you pray, which you just did, all that, right? Then you stop. Lord, what do you say? How should I be thinking about this? How should I be feeling about this? And be still and know that I'm God. And when you're still and know that he is God, he'll speak to you. He will tell you the things. And it's like, wow, I didn't know that, Lord. And then there's a weight that comes off of you, because the bondage or the burden that you were carrying was just that, something you were carrying but didn't come from God in the first place. But he equips you to how to walk rightfully in his presence. And so you take off that burden and you walk in the freedom of his truth, his word. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Some things that we need to know. We don't know them yet. God wants to reveal them to us. So make that time, priority time, that he will speak these things, because he's not trying to keep them from us. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. So that's where we don't turn back to folly. Don't turn back to sin. And so what else can we learn? The last point of what we can learn from the life of Samuel, just from that one scripture, 1 Samuel 3:1. We learn this, that the word that Samuel heard shaped the rest of his life. The words from God that we hear have the potential to shape our lives. Amen. If that is true, which it is, the opposite is true as well. The words we don't hear, we were supposed to hear, but we didn't hear, so therefore we made wrong choices, also shape the rest of our lives, but unfortunately not in the direction of the Lord. How important is hearing correctly? How important is it for us to hear correctly? Very important for us to hear correctly, to make room to hear correctly, right? So hearing correctly results in destiny being fulfilled, but so much more than that. Hearing correctly results in you being that warrior full of authority, taking your position in Christ and not letting a casualty of war happen on your watch. In other words, a fatality. Spiritual death, even physical. Because you have eyes to see, but you have ears to hear. And you refuse to budge. You know, you're not going to move. You're not going to be pressured by people that don't understand or people that want to mock. We all following? Yeah. Samuel received a word. Well, he received a word of correction for Eli, didn't he? For those of you that know the story, he received a prophetic word of correction that he needed to deliver to Eli. And he did. He delivered that word. And you know that Samuel went on to be acknowledged as a prophet. The Bible says that not one of his words fell to the ground. In other words, he became such a man of integrity that is used to hearing the word of God so strongly and so accurately that when he went and relayed that word from God, not one of those words fell to the ground. Like not one of those words were inaccurate. Not one of those words were ineffective. Every single one of those words carried power because it came from the Lord. He knew how to hear. In the beginning part of Samuel says he grew. Samuel grew in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel and 26. It says the child Samuel grew in stature and in both favor with the Lord and with men. So we see the progression. We see that he was young. We see that he learned, well, he grew in stature, in strength, but he also grew in favor. He grew in favor, and that favor was both with God and men. But then when we get to chapter 3 and in verse 19, it says, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let not one of his words fall to the ground. This is after he got used to hearing the voice of God and delivering the message that he didn't really want to deliver because it was a heavy message. But he did deliver it. It wasn't easy, but he did it anyway, right? So had Samuel not heard the Lord, had Eli not given him that instruction, go and ask, I'm listening. Had he not heard the word of the Lord, I mean, he could have missed out on what God had for him in his life. And I think this is one of the greatest points that I really want to draw your attention to in this message. Not to try to make anybody fearful, but to try to awaken us. We have to be awakened to truth, being people that are strong and powerful in Christ, knowing that the enemy is always trying to snatch things, and he's trying to close up your hearing spiritually. He wants to not allow you to hear the depth, or there'll be a situation where you will hear correctly, but then the fear of man will try to take place, and so you don't do what you're supposed to do with what you heard. And you back down, you back up a little bit, and you don't want to be that, I don't want to be that radical, I don't want to get them upset, or whatever the case might be. But that's the danger. Did Samuel go and deliver the word even though it was difficult? Absolutely, he did. Now, Eli was very receptive, and he received that word. He already knew it. He already knew it. But regardless, he accepted the word, right? So let's be people that hear, that minister to God, that make sure our hearing is accurately so we don't miss what God has for us, because it's not just about us. What Samuel heard wasn't just for him, what really wasn't for him even at all. I mean, you can, yes, to a degree, but it was really for Eli, and it was to change the whole course of that nation. So the word that God wants to speak in your ears, what if it's a word that has nothing, not much to do with you, but very, very much a lot to do with someone else? Would you be faithful to give it? Would you be faithful to hear correctly? How about your own families? Hearing God on their behalf and then being bold enough to pray it through. If God says, I just want you to pray. Sometimes he says, I just want you to pray into what I just shared with you. And then other times he says, I want you to speak it because they need to know. And again, that's hearing God to know which is it that we are to do for that moment. Is it to be spoken, or is it to just be prayed through? Discernment of the Lord will show you. He'll tell you. And finally, Colossians 3:16. And I'm going to close with this scripture, Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. I love that. I'm going to stop right now, right there, and I'll finish it in a moment. But let the word of Christ, the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell within us, dwell within you richly. In other words, let that word flow from a place of abundance. Let that word dwell, not just be there a little bit of the time, but no, let it dwell and let it flow in abundance, richly. It says, in all wisdom. That we would be people that continually grow in the wisdom of God because we hear the voice of God. In all wisdom, in teaching, in admonishing one another, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual psalms, singing with grace in our hearts for the Lord. That's what we want. Lord, that's what we want. Fine-tune our hearing that we would hear your word. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. And just like Samuel, Father, just like Samuel, this young boy, but you had a call of God upon his life. And even as a young individual, Lord God, you marked him out. And I believe there's so many here, and they're marked out and called by God. And I know that there are some things that we've heard accurately, and then there are probably many others we have not. Well, Lord, we want to hear accurately. We want to We want to make sure that what we hear is truly coming from you, God, and not mixture. So, Lord, do whatever you need to do, Lord, in us. Awaken us, God. If there are things that we are doing or people we're listening to that are drawing us away from God, drawing us away from the purity of the gospel, show us, reveal it to us, because that also clouds our ability to hear. Even as I was sharing with my granddaughter, everything we need to, it has to pass a litmus test. Is this thing, is this person, is this event, is this scenario going to take me and bring me closer to the Lord, or is it going to keep me away? Is it going to take me closer to the Lord? Or is it going to draw me away? Lord, we want to make sure that our lives are so saturated in you, God, and that we hear you and we live set apart. You recently had me preach a message on the remnant. We are your remnant. We, the remnant ones, want to rise up and hear you accurately and be that mouthpiece for the Lord, because you've said you are. This church is like a fire. You carry the fire of God internally and externally. The wall of fire is a wall of fire externally. And that you're like this city on this hill where the glory of God falls down upon. And every time we meet, the glory of God falls upon us. Lord, thank you for the salvation today. Thank you for the deliverance today. Thank you, Lord God, for the teaching today. Thank you that we could come together and worship and praise you today. Thank you, Lord, that people were encouraged, that people are growing because the word is being spoken, is being taught. The teaching of your word, we grow because we hear your word. Thank you, Lord God. Paul even said, it's not tedious to repeat, but for you it's beneficial. It's beneficial for us to hear the word of God being spoken, being preached. It's beneficial for us to open up our own Bibles and say, oh God, fine-tune me, my hearing, my sight, my sensitivity to respond to you. Lord, create in me, oh God, such a heart after God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord God, that we are changed. Thank you that we are not the same as we came in, but we are filled with hope, filled with joy, filled with a holy expectation. That word was what God spoke to me during worship, a holy expectation. That's what we have. It doesn't matter who follows along. In other words, we're not going to let their decisions change ours. We're not going to allow someone else's faulty decision change ours. We're going to pray. We're going to stand. We're going to encourage. But we're going to stand firm to the Lord first. What we do before God is the most important thing. And we want our lives to be sold out and set apart for you, Lord. So we thank you, Abba. We give you all the praise. Let your kingdom that is here, that is present, Lord God, I thank you that you're saturating them right now. I thank you that you're giving them courage right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you're equipping them right now. Lord, I thank you that eyes to see are theirs. Any scales come off right now off of their eyes. Any scales on their ears come off right now in the name of Jesus. You're giving them eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, I thank you that you're giving them a holy boldness that when you say, not only do you hear my voice, but I do want you to go out and speak, that they will not walk in trepidation or in any form of fear or fear of man, but instead they'll speak truth in love. They'll speak what they need to say in love. And Lord, the result is really yours, not ours. Like, in other words, we don't concern ourselves with the result. As long as we know we've done it in love, we know we fulfill the commandment of the Lord, then we know we've done your will. Lord, I thank you for a bold church. I thank you for a church on fire. I thank you that they are, Lord God, set apart, remnant, the remnant ones, part of the remnant, Lord, that you have called here on earth, Lord, to stand firm in the face, Lord God, of all that's going on, Lord God, and to call in the goodness, call in the power of God, to call in the fruitfulness, Lord God, that your Spirit gives us. So, Lord, even as I began this message and you said to me this week, to tell them, to sound the alarm, hearing and hearing correctly from God is critical. Specifically right now, It is critical that we hear, Father, I'm asking that we make not one decision without the confident assurance that we have heard you. Let those decisions not be made in our flesh, in what's familiar, what we're used to, but instead, truly, because we hear you. So if we need to slow down, slow us down. If we need to slow down to hear, slow us down. But we want to hear and we want to respond correctly. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.